Go in your Bible to Genesis 45 on the sign outside. You read the message here preaching from great stories of the Old Testament. That's what we'll hear this morning. I don't know if it'll be great preaching or not. Is that what the sign doesn't say that, does it? It says here preaching on the great stories. That's right. Not great preaching on the great stories. If you're looking for great preaching, you came to the wrong place today, all right? But Joseph meeting his brothers was number 7 on the list of people's 12 favorite Old Testament stories. Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. So let's stand. We'll read the first 5 verses of chapter 45 and get into a message after the special in just a moment. Let's read these responsively, meaning you join me on verses 2 and 4. Would you please? That's Genesis 45, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me,' and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near. And he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life.'" Our Father, thank you for your book. It's powerful, deep, wonderful, precious, mighty. I pray that you'll use it today in my heart and the hearts of all those who will listen now for the next several minutes. Lord, may your word accomplish its purpose in our lives. Lord, not just for this time period, but maybe a decision, an adjustment, Lord, that needs to be made, something that needs to be taken care of in this service at this time. May we not miss it. May our ears be attentive. May our hearts be ready. May our spirits be willing. And I'll thank you for it. Bless the song and the message to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. like it, Brother Tom. The thing I like about Tom singing is I enjoy it and he enjoys it. And I'm watching him enjoy it. I enjoy watching him enjoy it. I wish he would be a little bit more bold, though. He's too timid. So, good song this morning. It's a great song. I enjoy hearing it, whoever sings it. Let's talk about Joseph for a little while this morning and ask God to bless our time in his book. Father, it's a precious book. These are great truths. And I pray that you'll help us to get them. This could really help somebody this morning, somebody that's really frustrated right now and struggling with some things, maybe from the past, some wrong someone did to them, some ugly thing. Lord, they haven't gotten over it. I pray that you'll help us today. Learn some things from this great man, this great story of your great book. Well, thank you for it. Help me, I pray, and give myself to you. In Jesus' name and amen. Let me quickly go through the life. I think you know most of the story. Joseph was the 11th of 12 sons born to Jacob. He quickly became Jacob's favorite. Soon Joseph was wearing a coat of many colors. And the envy and jealousy began to creep into the hearts of his other brothers who were older than him. His younger brother Benjamin had not yet been born. God began to give Joseph dreams, and in his dreams, Joseph was always the prominent one. And his brothers were subservient to him. And even his parents subservient to him. And that, of course, made his brothers furious. He talked openly about these dreams and infuriated his brothers. And even made his dad ticked off, really. And he talked about those dreams to Joseph. At age 17, Joseph brought to his father an evil report concerning the behavior and conduct of some of his half-brothers. All the young people, all parents who have children need to distinguish between tale-bearing and truth-bearing. It's not wrong to be a truth-bearer. It's wrong to be a tale-bearer. Proverbs talks about tale-bearing, condemns it, separates chief friends, and so forth and so on. But truth-bearing is a different matter. Joseph came to his father with this evil report concerning the behavior of some of his half-brothers, and that on top now of the jealousy and the envy they already had in their heart, they secretly hated him. And one day while they were out keeping the flocks, here came Joseph to check on them at his father's behalf. On his father's behalf, go check on your brothers, check on the flocks. And they saw him coming. And they conspired together, talked of killing him, and they were talked out of killing him by the oldest boy, Reuben, who used a little bit of common sense, and they put him into a pit, you remember. In fact, Reuben planned on returning and delivering Joseph from the pit. In the meantime, the band of Ishmaelites comes through on their way to Egypt, and the boys, seeing an opportunity here not only to be ugly to Joseph, but to make some money, sold Joseph to that band of travelers for 20 pieces of silver. Took his coat and shredded it. Covered it with blood. Let the blood dry, and then took it to his dad and told his dad, Jacob, that an evil beast had attacked him and killed him. And boy, Jacob mourned. Down in Egypt, Joseph was sold to Potiphar, a slave. He became the captain of Potiphar's guard there and so forth and so on. And then Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce Joseph. And like all good men would do, he refused. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. He fled. There are times when it's not right to drop to your knees and pray or sit there and argue and quote Scripture. There are times when it's time to get out of Dodge. He did that. He left. He left his coat, but he fled with his character. Boy, oh boy, then he was thrown into prison. She made up a wild story accusing him of trying to attack her. And of course, he being the stranger and the foreigner, he was thrown in prison where the king's prisoners were kept. Those who were possibly on death row. But God was with him. Down in that prison, Joseph was noticed for his work ethic and his spirit and his attitude. And the captain of the prison promoted Joseph to the chief in charge. And here came the butler and the baker, Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's baker, and thrown in prison and long faces. And they both had dreams. And Joseph interpreted those dreams correctly. The butler was restored to his position. And the baker lost his head. And the last time Joseph talked to that butler, he said, "Do me a favor. Don't forget me. Tell the king about my situation. Tell Pharaoh about me." The butler was restored to his position and he forgot Joseph, the Bible says, for 2 full years. Then Pharaoh had a dream. Sought to have it interpreted. Nobody could do it. And the butler remembered that Joseph in prison had correctly interpreted his and the baker's dream and told Pharaoh about Joseph. And Pharaoh sent for Joseph. And here came Joseph and interpreted Pharaoh's dream. There's going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And the 7 years of famine are going to be so severe, it's going to eat up the 7 years of plenty. You better make preparation. And Pharaoh said, "I'm going to, and you're the man that's going to do it." Promoted Joseph to second in command over all the land of Egypt from the prison to the palace. What a story. Now he's been in that position for these years. The 7 years of plenty are over and they are 2 years into the 7 years of famine. The famine has hit not only Egypt hard, but Canaan as well. One day while he was on his job, he's told of 10 men who were traveling from Canaan who needed corn. He said, "Send them in." To his shock and surprise was his 10 older brothers. Can you imagine that? We read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. Put yourself in that situation. Here come 10 older brothers. The men who sold him for 20 pieces of silver. The last several years of his life. All the turmoil, the loneliness, the feeling of abandonment. All of that because of them. Here they stood in front of him. The Bible, of course, goes through, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, some things that happened there between Joseph and his brothers. And he did not reveal himself to his brothers right at that time. And when you get to chapter 45, we read it just a moment ago in verse number 1, the Bible says Joseph could not refrain himself any longer, and he made himself known to his brothers. He said, "Everybody get out of here," and let all the Egyptians out. And he told his brothers, "I am Joseph." What a moment. I bet the tension was so thick in that room you could cut it with a knife. The Bible says, look at it, verse number 3. The Bible says that his brethren could not answer him. They're stunned. Couldn't believe it. Joseph? What a moment. Time must have stood still for these boys, Joseph included, at this time when he revealed himself. Now, there's so much to preach about on Joseph. And these stories are so well known. I've tried to read through them and ponder things that maybe I haven't preached on before and ask the Lord for some new, there's no new truth, but there's new light on old truth. Reading through these stories, there's a lot of great lessons that speak to my heart. But the lesson that speaks to my heart from this story, more than any other lesson, is the condition of Joseph's heart at chapter 45 and verse 1 through 5. After all he endured, after all he was put through, all these crazy, unusual, and difficult circumstances, Joseph at this moment, and I really believe, friend, if you study carefully the life of Joseph, you know that at chapter 50 and so forth, there was no bitterness, no ugliness, there was no earth, right? I think it happened right here. I have pondered this thing, looked at these passages. I'll share some of it with you in just a moment. I think right here, chapter 45, verse number 1, something happened in Joseph's heart. A tender, loving, compassionate release. Listen. A release of bitterness and ugliness. Grudge, possibly, toward people who had done him wrong. Anybody ever done you wrong? Yeah. And here is a release of this thing. And you see in the following verses some tender and precious things that happened in Joseph's relationship with his brothers. His heart embraced forgiveness and rejected bitterness. His heart embraced compassion and rejected hatred. His heart embraced concern and rejected revenge. And I know, because I've pastored some of you people now for 15 years, I'm talking to some folks here this morning who have had some very difficult circumstances handed to you down through life. Life's not always fair. Not everybody's going to do you right. I'm talking about adults who were not treated properly as children by their own parents. I'm talking about some who were not treated properly by a spouse. Maybe adults or children here this morning whose parent walked out on you one day. Difficult things. Hard things. Tough things. Like boys selling their brother for 20 pieces of silver to be a slave in Egypt. Something happened in Joseph's heart. And before I look at Joseph's heart with you this morning, let me point out that God took care of getting vengeance on Joseph's brothers. Because if you read down through verses 17 through 24 in chapter number 45, you'll read that. We're not going to have time to read it this morning and look at it because I'm running out of time. I've got to get to some stuff that just thrills me. But he said, look, go get Dad and here, take the wagons with you, and loaded up all the wagons with food and drink and preparations, and said, go tell Dad I prepared a place for him down here, and go bring your wives and your families and bring all your children and come on down, let's live, and you'll have plenty to eat. I'll take care of every need you have. And boy, those 10 brothers, they've met Joseph. Now they're over the initial shock of who he is. They've wept on his shoulders and hugged and had a good time together and ate and so forth and so on. And now they're starting up the road from Egypt to Canaan, and they're all excited. We're going to tell Dad that Joseph is alive. We're going to tell Dad that Joseph is alive. We're going to tell. Oops. They were the ones who years earlier had lied. Brought their dad years of grief. Said, Joseph's dead. Here's his coat. Animals killed him. I bet they had a powwow about who was going to do the talking. Dad, how you doing? Doing fine. Fine. Did you get some things from Egypt? Yeah. Well, we got a good load. Well, how was it? How was that mean old man that you were dealing with down there? How was he? He was real nice. Well, how'd it go? Well, how do you say it? How do you say I'm a liar? How do you say I'm a deceiver, a trickster? Can you imagine that? How they dropped down on their knees and had to tell their dad years ago, we lied. You see, people, look, it never pays to be dishonest and deceitful. And you're not going to get away with it. You may enjoy a season of not having to reap what you've sown, but friend, God keeps the records and God evens the score. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:7, woe unto the world because of offenses. Are you listening? For it must needs be that offenses come. You're living in a dream world if you think you're going to go through life and never be handed a lemon. Boy, the optimism of youth. Everything I touch is going to turn to gold. Every relationship, everything is going to succeed. And I like that. Now, don't ever throw cold water on that. That's how you and I were when we were 18, 19, and 20. It takes a few years to realize that life doesn't always hand you cherries and sweet things. Life is full of lemons and sour things and difficult things. Say amen. You know that's true. You know it is. Sure. must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. I'd hate to be the author of handing somebody an offense. Better think about that before you walk out on your wife and children.
Hey, come on.
See, that's going to happen. We live in a world where that happens. Unfortunately, it's not just stuck out in the world. It creeps up. Son, look up here and listen to me now. I'm glad you're here, but you guys need to listen, okay? This will help you. It doesn't just happen in the world. It happens in the church. It's horrible. A man tells his wife, go home to your mother. I'm tired of this. Horrible. Put that person, put that offense on that young lady. Put offense on a young lady and children like that. Woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. You go ahead and be dirty and dishonest and deceitful and do somebody wrong to advance your own self and to please your own fleshly appetites and your own ungodly, wicked lust. And God takes care of getting revenge. Amen. He did in this case. I bet those boys shaking in their boots by the time they got back to Canaan. Had to tell Dad, Joseph's alive. But my major point of interest this morning is how did Joseph refrain from bitterness and ugliness and maintain a heart that God could bless, or at least come to that place where he had that tender heart? Let me give you a couple of thoughts this morning, and I know that I'm short on time as it is right now, but I'm going to get through this, and bear with me. I believe this is destined to help somebody today. I counsel in the office back there. I know the offenses that have been handed to some people. How to do it? First of all, be aware of what is natural. Be aware of what is natural. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? You see, it could not have been easy, and it was not easy. Now, let me say this in preface by way of introduction to this point this morning. We sometimes look at these Bible characters like they're supermen. James says that they were people of like passions as you and I are. Do you have a problem with somebody doing you wrong? So did Joseph. You see, in the past, maybe I was looking through rose-colored lenses at Joseph. You know, he was handed this offense, and his brothers sold him into slavery, and he just rejoiced all the way through it. But the closer I studied this thing, I don't think so. I think he was like me. I think he was like some of you. You've been handed an offense. Somebody's done you wrong, and it's not easy to handle it. You say, okay, prove what you mean. All right, remember his first meeting with his brothers? Why didn't he just say then, I'm Joseph? You remember all that he did to them? He gave them corn and put money in their sacks. When they got home, they said, look, Dad, look. But you know that aided them? Who did this? They were fearful. Joseph was the author of that. They came back down a second time. Joseph gives them corn, but he says, I want one of you to stay in prison. The Bible says he took Simeon and he bound them before their eyes. Huh? Read some of these stories about Vietnam and World War II and how some of the people treated U.S. soldiers. They'd find two of them and they would kill. I won't even describe how they would kill a man. And they'd tell the other guy, go back and tell your buddies. That's what we're going to do to all of you. They bound up Simeon. Joseph did. Joseph had him bound. What was Joseph's main concern each time the boys came? How's your daddy? How's your daddy? Is this all? Are you all the boys in the family? Joseph knew there was a Benjamin. No, we got a younger brother. He's pretty close to that. He didn't come. How's dad? How's that younger brother doing? You see, his dad did nothing to him. Benjamin did nothing to him. But those 10 older boys all conspired together. Are you with me this morning? To sell him into slavery. He made life miserable for them. It's kind of like, you know what? I've forgiven you, but I hope you suffer. And that's not forgiveness. I've released you, I hope you're miserable. I hope you pay for what you did. And he was the author of some of that bitter. He was the author of some of that stuff. Put Simeon in prison. Kept him there. He put all of them in prison for 3 days. All of them. And then he put Simeon, bound him up, put him in prison. They went all the way back to Canaan, back again. And Simeon was in jail. They went to Canaan and they stayed there while Simeon was locked up in prison until the food ran out. And then they went back down to Egypt again. The whole time Simeon's in prison. Makes you wonder how involved Simeon was in the plan to sell him into Egypt. I'll take you. Are you with me, folks? This is a real story. This is not some fairy tale. It's a real story, real people, real places. And they come back again. He puts the food in their sacks again, and then he has Pharaoh's cup, that cup, Pharaoh's cup placed in that sack, and then he sends the soldiers out to get them. And you've stolen Pharaoh's cup. No, we haven't. He said, yes, you have. Empty your sacks. And they opened the sack, and they found it in Benjamin's sack. See, he wanted to keep Benjamin. You know what the honest truth of the matter is? Listen very carefully. Joseph wanted his daddy, and he wanted his Benjamin in Egypt, but he didn't want those 10 boys in Egypt. He wanted his daddy, and he wanted Benjamin there. Hey, come on. If I put that youngest boy in prison who's close to his daddy, maybe daddy will come. Are you with me, folks? All this stuff Joseph is doing to his brothers. Forgiving, but you're going to pay. I'm forgiving you, and I'm getting over it, but I hope you're miserable for what you did to me, and I hope that you get everything coming to you. And friend, that kind of spirit is not going to help you. That kind of spirit places yourself in prison. In torment. Forgiving people who wronged you is not easy. It wasn't easy for Joseph. That's the problem with some of God's people today. You've been wronged. You've been handed an offense. And forgiveness does not come natural to our flesh. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is not a part of the old nature. The old nature wants to get even. The old nature wants to make people suffer. The old nature wants to make people pay. That's exactly what Joseph was doing to his 10 brothers. Been mistreated by a spouse? Been abused by parents, a grandfather, a former employer, somebody stole, cheated you out of a significant amount of money, dad walked out on you, mom walked out on you, you're laid off or lost your job for no good reason because you wouldn't go along with all the partying? What's the natural emotion, folks? The natural emotion is anger, and I'm going to make you pay, and I'm going to get revenge. Forgiveness, releasing the person, is not natural. It's not easy. The anger, the wrath, the revenge swells inside of us. Those are the products of the old sinful nature. That's the old man. Are you listening this morning? You know what you got to do? Be aware of what's natural. Be aware of what's part. Be aware of what's the old man in you. And don't allow yourself to justify the sinful, ugly characteristics of the old man. Don't do that. You did something to me and I'm going to forgive you, but don't you ever come close to me again. That's what he did to those 10 boys. Get out of here. I want Dad, I want Benjamin, but I want nothing to do with y'all. Don't lie to yourself, friend. You know the eggheads, the psychological eggheads that are on the radio and everywhere tell us today that we're entitled to our feelings. We're entitled. I'm entitled to be angry. I'm entitled to be mad. I'm entitled to feel this bitter spirit. I'm entitled to it because of how I was treated. I have my feelings too, you know. But that's the old man. That is the old Adamic, bound for hell, sinful nature. I see Joseph fighting those things. You can't look at it that way. Dealing with those brothers. Fighting. Bitterness. Anger. Not wanting those to be close to him. Keeping his identity sealed. And then all of a sudden you get to chapter 45 and verse 1. Everything changes. He breaks down. Look at verse number 2 or 3 here. Look at verse number 2. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Do you see that, friend? That's not just taking up space. This grown adult man is weeping so loud you could hear it houses away. You ever heard anybody crying like that? What it says. The Egyptians, the house of Pharaoh, heard him. You say, what is that? I believe with all of my heart, that's that pent-up frustration and pent-up imprisonment and pent-up bitterness that, you know, we've partially forgiven and partially released the person who's done us wrong, but we've not experienced total release. Joseph broke. Sobbed. What was the first thing he said? Come to me. Come here. For all these months, it was this. Are you listening this morning? I know God's in this, friend. I know God's in this. For all these months, it was this. What a son does to his dad. What a spouse does to another spouse. What? And when his heart breaks, come to me. So look at verse 4. Come near to me. Look at verse 4. I pray you, I beg you, come near to me. Look at verse 5. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. The last several months, he's made life miserable for those boys. And now all of a sudden he's saying, look, I don't want you to be grieved. I don't want you to be angry. I don't want you to be upset. Come close to me. Tell me something didn't happen in his heart, people. Come on. Something happened to this man's heart. A release. You say, okay, how did he... What happened? I'm not sure I have all the answers to what happened, but I do know something that happened. Look at verse number 5, if you would please. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me. If you like to mark your Bible, circle those words. God did send me. Look at verse 7. And God sent me. Do you see that? God sent me. Verse 7. Look at verse number 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Look at verse number 9. God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. 4 times. I mean, he's kept these boys at arm's length for all of these weeks or months. I'm not sure how long. He's made life miserable on them. He could have revealed himself at that first meeting and said, I'm Joseph. You sold me into slavery, but I forgave you a long time ago and it's over. No. He made their life hell on earth. Scared, fearful. Is it right or not? And as soon as he breaks and says, come near, it's like the light clicked on. It wasn't you. It was you, but in the great scheme and plan of my life, it wasn't you. And even though God did not condone your lying, and God did not condone your deceitfulness, and God is not the author of your lies, God is big enough that in His great plan, this was all a part of God's great big plan for my life. And it's like Joseph was fighting that knowledge for all those months. And finally, he yielded to it. like he was trying to keep part of that situation under his control. I'll show you. I'm okay and I'm over it, but you're going to suffer. And finally, it was this. God sent me. He saw God's plan. God sent me. God sent me. God sent me. God sent me. You see, Joseph realized that God was the author of this whole novel that was his life. In chapter 50 and verse 20, to these same brothers, he said, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Doesn't mean that God is the author of the evil or the sin, but it means that God is bigger than man's sin. God's bigger than man's evil. I'm talking to people this morning who have been handed an offense down through life. God is not the author of the offense, but you've got to see God's plan. He is bigger than that offense. And He can use that offense to mold you and make you and let you be the person that He wants you to become. Somehow through all the turmoil, the tears, the torture of soul, the loneliness, the grief, the hopelessness, the sense of abandonment, somehow through all those years, strange country, strange culture, strange citizens, strange company, Joseph finally saw. Look where I am. I am in the position to keep my dad alive. What a God. And when he saw that, he just said, you got to find God's plan. You got to see God's plan. People may abandon you, God won't. People may disappoint you, God doesn't. People can be cruel and ugly, but God isn't. He's got a great big plan for your life. Yes, you've been handed an offense, but friend, He has grace, mountains of grace, and He's got a place for you after you come through it. He's got a place for you of usefulness. You've got to see that. You've got to see it. We want to keep our eyes on the hurt. Put them on the healer. We want to keep our eyes on the pain. Put your eyes on the great physician. We want to keep our eyes on the bitterness. Put your eyes on the balm of Gilead. We want to put our eyes on the anger and keep it there. Put your eyes on the always faithful one. Listen very carefully. When Joseph broke here, when he broke, when it had been like this for all these months and years, and all of a sudden, months and weeks, and all of a sudden it was like this, he released his brothers. But he also, in doing so, released himself. He was free. He was out of the prison of emotional torment that you put yourself in when you hold someone responsible. I forgave you, but I'm holding you responsible. That's not forgiveness. Let me ask you a question. Is that what happened when you and I got saved? Is that what happened when we get saved? I forgive you, but I'm holding you responsible. That was not the attitude of God, friend. I've been captivated by this for about 4 days now. You can ask my wife. I was pacing in the kitchen this morning. Brother Roloff used to call it pawing in the valley. Pawing in the valley. I was pacing in the kitchen. I couldn't wait to get here this morning and share this with the people who attend Faith Baptist Church. This could be life-changing for somebody in this room this morning. Release it, friend. Release it, release them, release the circumstance. You've given partial forgiveness. You've given partial, okay, but there's just that part that you're... I hope they suffer. You release yourself at the same time. If you never experienced that with God, I would invite you this morning to come and be saved. Friend, God does not offer partial pardons. God offers complete and whole pardon. Say, I'm not. You think you know me. You think I'm forgiven. Then why do you still talk about it? And why do you get all flustered when you talk about it? Brother Don was telling me a story about Corrie Ten Boom the other day, this morning, in fact. Said he read her book. I don't know all the details. I skimmed over The Hiding Place, but didn't read every page of it. I suppose it's a good reading. Brother Don said he really enjoyed the book. She was turned in by friends to the authorities for practicing her faith. I don't know all the details of what happened. I guess she was incarcerated and persecuted for her faith. She was turned in by her friends. And years later, she was given a speech and she said, you know, I have forgiven those friends who turned me in. She said, by the way, I have letters of documentation that they were the ones who turned me in. She finished her speech. Somebody came to her and said, Corrie, have you forgiven those people who turned you in? She said, yes. Why do you have the letters? Why do you keep talking about it? Why do you keep bringing it up? Well, you know, what? Get over it. I'm out of time. But you get over in chapter 50, Jacob dies. Those 10 boys come to Joseph. They're scared to death. Don't kill us, don't kill us, don't kill us. Joseph goes, what? Kill you. Wait. Daddy said, before he died, Daddy said, don't you take revenge. What? Boy, you don't understand. I haven't even thought about it. Yeah, see, that's what you want. You want to forget that offense. But you're going to have to let it go. And free yourself. Emotional torment. Somebody did you wrong. And by the way, folks, it's not just the big things. It's not just the walking out on a spouse. It's not just the unfaithful. It's not this. It's the way the former employer treated us. It's some circumstance that maybe God brought into my life. I've just never, ever released it. You know what we need to happen? We need a 45-1. We need that moment when we break. We release. And everything changes. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me ask today, how many are saved and you know it? You're on your way to heaven. You don't doubt that. You've been saved by the grace of God. You give testimony to that by raising your hand, please. Would you raise your hand this morning? I'm saved and I know. Be honest. Please don't be dishonest. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved.